pray. Lord Jesus, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The mighty, mighty name of our Lord Jesus. This morning as we gather, we just want to praise your name. This morning, Lord, we want to be like Abraham, Lord, who's sitting out and seeing you passing by and say, Lord, come in. Let us minister to you, Lord. Let us minister to you through our worship. Let us minister to you through our words. Let us minister to you, Lord. And as you minister to us, Lord, this is such a precious time, Lord. And we know at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. This praying, Lord, Evangel will declare, Jesus is the Lord over this church. Jesus is the Lord over this our families. Jesus is the Lord over our lives. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. What a mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, today I'd like to talk to you about this topic of a heart to please God. A heart to please God. And the scripture reference that I've chosen is taken from, the main scripture reference is Matthew, Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. And the other references is from Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 to 13, and also from John 12, 1 to 8. It is a very, very well-known passage of scripture. In the scripture, it talks about the anointing of Jesus in Bethany. Yeah? I'll read it out for you. It says here, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it out over his head. There were some of those who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Amen. Now, we prepared this message for a group of grandparents who look after their grandkids. Simply because their own children are not able to. And basically, this message was to encourage them, whatever they did, God knows. God knows. Whatever they did, they might not understand it right now, but they're actually raising another generations of children that will carry the flag of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Initially, the title of the message was, when we first prepared, it's called A Noble Act. But when I start to look at it, it sounds too much of a homeschooling title. So we change it to A Heart That Pleases God. Obviously, for y'all that know this passage, you know how the story was told. This woman came in, it could be in a setting like this, and she took a flask of very costly, very expensive alabaster oil and poured it on Jesus. Yeah, and the whole room smelled this beautiful perfume. Most probably, she did not know what she was doing. Most probably, I'll correct myself. Most probably, she did not understand fully what she was doing. What she knew is it is the right thing to do. And after that, what we know is that Jesus said she was preparing me for the burial. And from then on, Jesus went to Gethsemane, and there. He struggled, and at the end he submitted his will to God, and he went to Calvary. And from there we know what happened in Calvary. The most glorious scene of God was presented to us in Calvary. And the reason all of you are here is because of what happened in Calvary.
Amen.
And now, you can imagine, when Jesus said, what she has done will be proclaimed, will be talked about everywhere. Everywhere after that, and we have got this incident in the Bible.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. It's a beautiful. For someone who did not know what she was doing, and now her story is being told.
Yes.
Simply because she took a step of faith that says, I want to please God. Though I may not fully understand it, but this is what I want to please God. So here we see a pleasing heart that comes out of one, shall we say, a commoner. She's not one of the disciples. Did you notice that? She's not one of those that receive a lot of teachings. But later we shall see, she is one that look after God, look for God. Now, when we look at this lady, we know she has got a pleasing heart. A pleasing heart that comes out, that transpired to come into something really big in the history of Christianity. What I want to share with you today is, what is a pleasing heart? What is a pleasing heart of God, pleasing heart to God or for God, really do in the lives of our believers? The first is, we see, a pleasing heart requires a sharp and sensitive vision. In Mark 14:3, it says, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of onyx, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Nobody did that except this lady. What I'm trying to say is that for her to do that thing, she must have seen something in Jesus that nobody else did. Every actions that we do, whether we realize it or not, is prompted or guided or driven by the visions that we have, isn't it? Most of the time, our visions are driven by what we have for ourselves. And that is the problem. Because we have our visions not in conforming to the visions of God. And every time, whenever we have vision for ourselves, that's where we get into a whole lot of struggle, a whole lot of trouble. But when the visions comes from God, you know, you are in the will of the Lord. Sad to say, for some of us, we have no visions. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says, when you have no visions, when vision perish, everything perish. When there's no visions, everything perish. A vision from God, right vision of Jesus, can only come from God. That is for sure. It's just almost like when Peter was at the Caesarea Philippi. Jesus was asking him, now, who do other people say that I am? They say, well, some say you are the prophet. Some say you are this and you are that. But Jesus said, okay, but what do you say about me? Simon Peter says, you are the Son of the Living God. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, well, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father. Isn't it? The reason all of us are here today is because somewhere, sometime along our walk with God, God opened up our heart to reveal Jesus to us. And as a result, now today, we embrace Jesus as our Savior.
Amen. Yeah.
But it does not stop there.
Yeah.
It does not stop there. It seems as if the whole thing is a sovereign power of God. But yet, we have our responsibility as well. That's why we say, vision of Jesus is maintained and developed by our passion for Him. I thank God for the Bible. I hope you love your Bible. I love my Bible. Now, in this passage of Scripture, in Mark 14, the reference is also to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we come to know who this woman is. This woman is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And what did Mary do? Mary was the one who sat at Jesus' feet, constantly listening and receiving from the Lord Jesus. That's what passion for God actually means. Do you or do I constantly sit at the feet of Jesus, listening and talking to Him and receiving from Him? Do you have your time? I know all of us are very busy people, but do you have your time to spend time reading the Word of God? Because it is through reading the Word of God that we come in contact with Jesus our Lord. And many a times, if you be honest with yourselves, it is when reading the Word of God, the greatest revelation is revealed to you. It is through the reading of the Word of God that Jesus Christ is beautifully manifested to
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, it is intense passion that sustains radical sacrifice.
Yeah.
It is intense passion that sustains radical sacrifice. I repeat that again. When we talk about sacrificing for God, just like this woman did, she sacrificed a beautiful flask, a very costly ointment. And from what we understood, that this flask costs about one year of wages. And that's how much it costs. She sacrificed it simply to prepare our Lord Jesus. Now, she did this. She did this because she has an intense passion for the Lord. And in our daily walk with God, we got to ask ourselves, do we have this passion? Don't talk about sacrifice first. Because why? Because without the intense passions, your sacrifice will not be able to be sustained. Mm. You will be hot for 1 week, the next week you'll be all fizzled out. Mm. Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? Let's be honest, isn't it? Yes. We can be, especially this month, December month. December month is when Brother Chiang has talked about all this outreaches that we have. Yeah? And all of us all go and did our utmost best to glorify God, to spread the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about when January comes?
Right. Yeah.
What about January comes? Right. Do you still have that intense passion that you say, even January, even June, even whatever day it is, I will still have this heart to glorify God?
Amen.
Because why? Because the intense passion that is in me, that is the one that sustains a radical sacrifice. Yeah? Okay. The next is, pleasing God will attract criticism and oppositions. In Matthew 14, verse 45, it says, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they scolded her. ESV version says they scolded her. In King James version, it says, they murmured against her. Whatever it is, it is not a popular position. Pleasing God is never a popular position. In fact, it is a Gethsemane experience and can be a very lonely place. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Because why? Somehow, the love for God is contrary to the love of the world. Or the love of the praise of God is contrary to the love of the praise of man. And many a times, unfortunately, we always succumb to the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Yeah? It is a very lonely place. It is in Gethsemane that our Lord Jesus went and said, Father, if it be possible, would you please take this cup? But not my will, yours be done. After she said it three times, in the end he says, Lord, Father, if this cup cannot be taken away from me, thy will be done. And the Lord Jesus did not say that simply because for himself. One of the beautiful things about our Lord Jesus Christ is when he came and he taught us faith, he demonstrated faith to us. Isn't it? He did not only teach us faith, he demonstrated faith to us. By saying, thy will be done, he is giving us his faith to be imparted upon our lives. So that now we can say, Lord, thy will be done. Not mine, but thy will be done. Pleasing God can easily be misunderstood as it goes against the accepted norm or what is considered reasonable. It is reasonable to say, look, let's sell the flask of oil and give it to the poor. Isn't it? I think that's what we would do. That's what we would do. And sometimes, I must admit, by selling that and giving to the poor, it makes it more attractive than to waste it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because by selling it and giving it to the poor, we get the glory. By anointing the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets the glory. Because after that, he went and did one of the only thing that anybody in this world can do for you. The only thing a son of God can do for you, he died on the cross for your sins. So, pleasing God can be misunderstood. The last thing is very often be ridiculed or even be mistreated. We have seen the video this morning of all those in Kurdistan. Is it Kurdistan? I think it's Kurdistan. They please God. They please God no end. They please God no end. Pleasing God doesn't simply mean we do things for him. Pleasing God just simply means they come together and they worship this God, thus Almighty Father. That does not say that we are not doing things for God, but God says, to please me, I'd rather have your companion than your work. The Lord Jesus Christ looks for worshipper first before he looks for workers. Mm. Yeah? Before he looks for workers, don't turn the things around, don't turn the sequence around by giving the Lord Jesus workers before worshippers. Let us be worshipper for our Lord before we be workers.
Amen.
Both are important.
Yeah.
It is the grace of God that shines brightly in the hearts of God's pleasers. From the first one where we talk about pleasing God will somehow bring about such anointing upon the of those that determine to please Him. You know, it is the grace of God that brings you to that position. Yeah. The third point, pleasing God has His heart to glorify God. Mark 14:6-8 says, "But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial.'" The main purpose for our existence is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is taken from the Shorter Catechism, where the first question that they ask is, what is the main purpose of human being? The main purpose of human being is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You cannot, if your heart is not set on pleasing God, you cannot enjoy God. Not possible. Not possible. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah? So all these things suddenly comes into play. If your heart is your work, then you can't please God. You can't please God. God will always be a servant to you to satisfy your own visions. But if your heart is pleasing God, then your work becomes the most gratifying things that you have ever done. We are made in the image of God and to reflect the glory of God. You know, when we get up to heaven, I suspect there won't be any mirrors. Yeah? Why? Because mirrors, you look at yourselves. But while we are on earth here, we are to be the mirror so that God's glory can be reflected through us. And when people look at you, people look at God. People look at this is someone who followed the Lord Jesus. We are to reflect the glory of God. Our lives, our families, our vocations, and relationship are designed with this specific purpose, that they may see your good works and give glory to God, your Father who is in heaven. Do you have this purpose in your work? Do you have this purpose in your family? Do you have this purpose in every relationship that God has given you? And that's to give glory to the Father. It is in the context of glorifying God that we find a life purpose. Amen? And the last, pleasing God gets praise from God. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. We don't get praises from human beings. We are to get praises from the Father. Isn't it? This is what it all amounts to. It may not come tomorrow, it may not come a week later, but it will eventually come. Eventually, it will say, "Good and faithful servant, welcome into the joy of your masters." Yeah? I'd like to conclude by saying this. Sometimes when you look at, many of us grew up in this church, Evangelical Christian Fellowship. It has been in existence since 25 years ago, or roughly 25 years ago. Yeah? You have been here. And for those that you have just joined this church, when you come and say, take for example, this morning, when the worship is being played out, it has got one intention alone, and that is to please the Father.
Yes.
To please the Father. And in a way, God has given such a beautiful visions to this church. And the visions is to make sure, it's a Antioch, we call it the Antioch visions. And that is to reach out to everywhere we go. And many a times, while achieving these visions, many a times, this church has been ridiculed.
Yeah.
This church has been talked about. Yeah? But did we ever
Did we ever step out of the visions? Not at all. Not at all. Why? Because by God's grace, the moment you enter this church, by God's grace, God opened your heart to see His glory.
Amen.
God let you see something that is so worthwhile, you say, this is what I'm going to die for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
This is what it is. And everything that this church does, it can be in your own private family, it can be on your own, is to glorify God. Is to glorify God. It is, in a way, it is. This whole church evangel is the lady that always carried its alabaster flask of oil. Don't you think? We are always ready to prepare to anoint our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see it being anointed? Come on Friday. Come to Amaleo. You see how the Lord Jesus is being anointed. Come during the Byford Carol. You will see. But the thing is, we are not anointing the Lord so that He goes and die again. We are anointing the Lord because He's coming back again.
Amen. Yes.
Again. So get ready, yes, church. Yeah. I'm not saying this because it's something that's the right thing to do. You do not know. It is when we do this together as a church, when we go out there and do it as a church, then only you see the work of God being spread out to the people around you. Do you know that the Anglican Church is requesting to join our carol singing? Do you know that? Do you know the Presbyterian Church is asking us to be presented to them for carol singing? So what I'm trying to say is, God is doing mighty things.
Amen. Yeah.
God is doing mighty things through this church.
Yeah.
This church is 70 or 80 strong church, okay? It's not a mega church. But I say it's a 70 or 80 strong church.
Yeah.
Because why? Everyone plays a role.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone is holding his or her flask of alabaster oil and ready to be poured on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come and pour this oil together. In this month, I know we are not to please God only in December, but God opened all this opportunity for us to come so that we can glorify Him together.
Amen.
And after that, we continue to glorify Him.
Amen.
As the days go. So that Jesus can turn back and say, what you folks do, will be talked about, will be recorded in the book of life up there. And you and I are part of it.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
Amen. Amen.